Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Stopping right there. Father, we do thank you for the time we can have together this morning. I do pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you give us ears to hear. I pray, Father, you take away all distractions. Our own thoughts, Lord, can distract us. Noises can distract us. I pray, Father, that you'd have our full attention this morning. I pray, Lord, we'd listen intently as you speak to our hearts. Lord, I have nothing for your people, but Lord, you do. You promised your word would not return void, and we do, Father, want to hear from heaven this morning. Lord, you know what each of us need today in our life. You know the direction we need. You know the answers we need. And Father, we know that you will supply our every need, and we thank you for that, that there's one resource, there's one source that has all the resources that we need, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you bless the children in Junior Church, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're very familiar with the life of Joshua. We're very familiar with the verses in this chapter. Verses 8 and 9 are verses that we know very well and are quoted many times, and that is, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We know that God tells us how to have good success in our life. We know that God tells us how to have a prosperous life. But it's during times of life that we have a choice to either follow his leading or not follow his leading. Joshua is faced with a change in his life. Up to this point in Joshua's life, he had been following, he'd been ministering to Moses. He had been helping Moses. He had been the one who was faithful to walk alongside Moses. He was the one that would fight battles, and he's the one that would lead the people to go into the promised land. But something was changing in his life, something that he no doubt knew would come one day, but we already know that there are things that we're prepared for. We know things will happen in our life at different times, but we're not always prepared for that. And we know that God in chapter 1 encourages Joshua to be of good courage, because God would be with him, God would strengthen him, God would guide him, and Joshua just has to follow the word of God and believe that God will help him along the way, and that everything God says, if he'll do it, it'll bring success in his life, it'll bring prosperity in the lives of the people that he's leading. And this morning, I just want us to be reminded and really remember that God is with you. That God is with you when life changes. God is with you when you're faced with things in your life that you weren't even planning on. But always, God is with us. And because God is with us, God always provides exactly what we need. We just have to remain being the faithful servants that follow the Lord. Looking at verses 1 and 2 this morning, I want us to remember God's calling upon our life. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, their servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now Joshua already knew that they would be going into the promised land at some point. I mean, God did not keep him alive 40 years in the wilderness not to let him go into the promised land, because it was only him and Caleb who had faith in God to begin with to say, no, God's given us the land. The giants are bred for us. Let's go in and take it. But because the people, the majority of the people, did not want to follow God, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But God still had a calling on Joshua's life, and he has a calling on our life as well. And the calling is to remain faithful at following the Lord. Continue to walk with God. There may be times where we mess up and we don't do what God asks us to do right away, and we have to wait for that opportunity to come back around. And it will come back around, because God is a God of grace. When God wants us to do something, he's going to have us do it, even if it takes time. In the case of Jonah, Jonah did not want to do what God called him to do. He didn't want to go to the Ninevites because he had his opinion of the Ninevites. But yet, God brought that circumstance, he brought that back around and gave Jonah a second chance to follow through and do what God asked him to do. Listen, God never gives up on his people. And I'm glad that God never gives up on us. We just need to kind of be like Joshua and just face it head on, knowing that if God has called us to it, God will bring us through it. In verse 1, God says, now after the death of Moses, a very difficult time in Joshua's life, life is changing for Joshua. Our life always changes. How many of us have realized, I'm going to say in the last 40 years, you know, for those of us that are 40 and older, how many of us have realized life changes? Life never stays the same, though we would like for it to stay the same. I'm sure Joshua, he enjoyed following Moses' leadership. He enjoyed seeing God do great things through Moses. But there are times in our life where things change, and God is the God who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in order to use you and me at different times in our life, things have to change. God wanted to use Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, but the leadership had to change. Moses had to pass off the scene so that God could raise up Joshua to be the next leader. In Exodus chapter 34, it says, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Joshua saw Moses. He was the first one to see Moses coming down from the mount, and just his countenance was just glowing. Joshua was the only one that would just go everywhere Moses went, wanted to be right there because he wanted to be in the presence of God. He wanted to be around someone who had a walk with God, and he craved that. And I believe that is what got Joshua where he is in chapter 1, being chosen by God, because he was already a servant, faithfully serving God, already having a craving, a heart for the things of God. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, Paul says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now we know, as Paul teaches the believers at Philippi, they need to let go of past hurts. They need to let go of past persecutions, let go of past failures, and press towards the mark that is in Jesus Christ. Continue looking at the author and finisher of our faith. But I would also say we have to let go of the victories in the past at times. Sometimes people live in their past because maybe it was something good. And you know, we live in a day and age where people are trying to regain their youth. I don't want to regain my youth. I like who I am. I like the age I'm at. I don't like, you know, some of the physical ailments that come with the age. But I do not want to relive my young years. I don't want to go back to school. I want to go back through teenage years and all that. But there are just people that, when people hit 50, the stigma in America is, oh, you know, I want to relive my youth. I got to get a Corvette. I got to do this. It's amazing. Every Corvette I see, I always look inside. And it's usually an old gray-headed man trying to regain his youth. Every now and again, you'll see a young person maybe in their 30s. And my first thought is, yeah, that's grandpa's car or something. It just is. I mean, you always see older people wanting to regain their youth. But listen, life changes. There are blessings in every stage of life. I'm starting to learn that. I'm starting to learn that, you know what, in my late 40s, fixing around the corner into my 50s, there are some blessings to be had in this stage of life. Joshua has just turned the corner. Life is changing for him. Again, life is always changing. I was just a parent. Now I'm a parent and a grandparent. All right? So I get both sides of being a parent and a grandparent. Some I get to spoil and keep at home. Some I spoil and send back to their parents so their parents can deal with it, right? But when you think about just the change, sometimes change is difficult, sometimes change is not difficult. But when you think about what even Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, there are just things in our life we have to let go of. Joshua has to let go of being the follower, following Moses, and now he has to be the leader. He has to let go of, you know what? I used to ride on the coattails of Moses. I mean, I was always there because I knew if Moses was going up to the mountain, man, God was going to talk to him. If Moses was going to the tabernacle, the glory of God was going to fill that tabernacle, and I wanted to be there because I just felt the power of God coming off of Moses. There's times in our life where there's just people that influence us for good, but God wants to change it to where now we're the influencer, and we're not just riding life on someone else's coattail. That's why it's important that young people, yes, you see the example in parents, grandparents, church people of faith in God and all this, but at some point it's got to become real in your life. At some point, you have to cultivate and develop a walk with God on your own, because it's only a personal walk with God that's going to help us have success in the world that we're living in, because God wants to do things in our life. Again, God's calling. God says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spake unto Joshua. He spake unto Joshua and chose Joshua to be the next leader because Joshua had already shown himself to be faithful, to be obedient, and to be someone who was going to follow God no matter what. And you and I need to remember that as life changes, as we get married, as we have children, as we raise children, as we get to grandparent age, as we become empty nesters, not having kids in the house. I mean, we have all those stages in this church. Those that are still growing under the leadership and the nourishment or the nurture and admonition of the Lord under the authority of the parents, those that are newly married, those that are just having kids. I mean, all those stages, you see that in our church. And God wants to use every stage of our life for a reason and for a purpose. But listen, we have to learn to be faithful before God gives us something to do. And God wants to give each of us something to do. He wants us to learn beforehand how to trust Him. how to follow him, how to lean upon him, how to seek him with all of our heart. And God chooses Joshua because he's a man who's already proven himself worthy. In Psalm 75, it tells us, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Whatever happens in our life, God's the one that does it. And if we want God to do anything in our life, we have to submit ourselves to his will. And as the people of God, we should desire that God use us in some capacity, that God would show himself great and mighty in our life in some capacity, that we would have a vibrant walk with God that doesn't just show to the world, but it's valued by us. Again, Joshua shows himself. I mean, again, when you read through the Old Testament and you read how Joshua was just always following the Lord and always trusting the Lord. Yeah, he had his moment where he didn't trust God. He didn't ask for God's counsel when the people came to him pretending to be from a far country. All right. I'm glad when we read through Genesis all the way to Revelation, we don't see perfect people except Jesus Christ. What we see, though, is people that God can use. People that say, "Lord, I know I'm nothing, but if you'd work in my life, I sure would surrender myself. I would allow myself to be used of you. I want to see some reality. I want to see some truth. I don't want to just say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and then never experience the power of God, never experience God choosing to use me in some way, never experiencing God really working in my heart and in my life. I mean, what's the point of saying, yep, I'm a Christian if I have nothing to testify about? I mean, yeah, I can testify, yeah. You know, I don't remember the date, but I remember the night that I called out to the Lord. I mean, my wife was wonderful. My wife was loving and gracious and said, "Honey, you're going to hell. Good night." Just her words were just smooth as butter, and just, I mean, she was buttering me up, right? But that's what the Lord knew I needed. A little wake-up call. But you know what? It helped me. Now, I'm not saying you need to go out there and just tell everybody, you know, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, right? But what I'm saying is, because God loved me so much, he used the love of somebody else to help me to see something. And not knowing God, but from that moment, God had already ordained me to be a pastor at some point. I ran from it. I didn't want it. Surely, God, I know you have a sense of humor. It's probably a big joke. But if it was a big joke, I wouldn't be standing here, right? And I say that to say this. God is the one that wants to do something in each of our lives. He wants to show himself great and mighty. Don't allow yourself to ever get to a point in your life where you stop seeing the greatness of God in your life, where you stop hearing the voice of God, you stop being used by the Lord. Joshua, from the beginning of his life to the end of his life, will be faithful to be used by God. He'll be faithful to seek after God. He'll be faithful to let God work in his life. In Numbers chapter 14, it says, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us." This is Joshua coming back from looking and surveying the promised land and coming back and hearing the 10 other spies say, you know, how big the giants are and how small God is, how powerful the giants are, how weak God is. In their own words, that's what they were saying. And Joshua says, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Neither fear ye the people of the land. Don't fear the people of this country that may be in political charge. Don't fear the people of this world that think they know it all. God's the one that owns the cattle on the thousand hills. God's the one that has all power. This world belongs to our Lord. As I read again in Revelation today, there's coming a new earth and a new heaven. I'm looking forward to when everything is new. But you know what? When everything is new and we all tears are wiped away, no more death, no more sorrow, no more suffering, then guess what? We just enjoy the goodness of God for eternity. We enjoy the perfectness of God. We enjoy just things that we can't even imagine now that we just hope for. You realize now, before Christ returns, we get to enjoy and see the power of God in our life. We actually get to see God doing things in our life, helping us overcome trials, helping us to even just be servants of the Lord, and the fact that God even wants to do things in our life and through us. In Matthew 23, Jesus said, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." I want to be used by God, then we have to humbly serve. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I mean, those that do not really want God in their life will lift themselves up above God. But those that truly want God in their life will humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Again, remembering that God does have a calling in your life, and that first calling is to walk with Him. Is to walk with Him. You know what Adam was doing in the garden before Eve was ever created from his rib? He was walking with God. That's what He created us to do, is to walk with Him. To experience His goodness, to experience His power, to experience His grace, and to be used of Him. Because we know He has a purpose. He has a purpose for everything He does. Jesus said in Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, His disciples, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I know that's the Great Commission. I know that's for all of us. But just think for a moment. At that time, He's speaking to those apostles, to those disciples, giving them a purpose, what they need to do as He ascends back up to the right hand of the Father, ascends back up to His glory. He gives them a purpose. Excuse me. He gives them a purpose, a purpose for... He gives them a purpose for their life. Could you imagine what it must have been like for those disciples on that day? They've been walking with the Lord for 3.5 years. They saw Him crucified. Now for 40 days, He's shown Himself alive. And they're probably like, you know, this is awesome. I don't want this moment to ever go away. I don't know if you've ever, I hope you have. But have you ever had that moment where you were just spending time with God and just soaking up His presence, and you just did not want to leave? You didn't want the moment to just to die and go away. But obviously, you know, you can't stay in that state of prayer forever. You've got to live life. There's things to do, but you have those moments where you want to stay there with the Lord, and you want to just soak up His presence and just continue to listen to Him as He speaks to your heart, and you don't want it to change. And then sometimes something happens, the phone rings, someone knocks on the door, or something happens to kind of disrupt the moment. Well, Jesus leaving their presence disrupted the moment, because He gives them that command. He departs out of their presence, and they're still gazing up into the sky, and then the angels say, "What are you looking at? Why are you still looking up in the sky?" He's going to come back in the same manner, but you know what? He gave you something to do. Now go wait for the Holy Spirit. And they went into the city, into Jerusalem. They waited for the filling of the Holy Spirit. They had a purpose. We all have something that God wants us to do. He has a directed purpose for each of us, like He did for Joshua, like He did for the disciples, like He did for Esther. Think about Esther. Esther didn't ask to be the queen to a heathen king. Well, that was God's purpose for her because he wanted to use her. And God gave her the grace to be able to do it. God helped her to accomplish his will. I mean, just all throughout Scripture, God has a purpose for each of us. He has a calling upon our life. Are we adhering to it? Are we listening? Are we saying like Samuel did that night as a young boy, Lord, speak for thy servant heareth. When he thought Eli was calling him, he kept going to Eli and saying, surely you called me, I heard my name. And Eli finally had to tell him, go lay down, it's the Lord calling you when he calls your name again. Because Samuel didn't know the voice of God. I hope everybody in the sound of my voice knows the voice of God. I hope you know when God speaks to you that it is God speaking. But you know what? God called Joshua to do something that was out of his ability. Sure, he had some leadership ability because he led armies in the battle. But he was about to do something they had never done before. He watched another person do it. He watched Moses do it. He saw the hand of God upon Moses' life. But would God do that for me? Sometimes we have that question, Lord, I know you can, I just don't know if you would for me. And sometimes we'll even have in our mind, you know, other people, I know you'll do it for them. Because I know they're walking with God. I know, Lord, I know that you hear their prayers. Lord, I know you do it for them, but would you do it for me? I mean, I just don't know if you'll do it for me. I think that's why God's encouraging Joshua in chapter 1 that if he will just listen to God's word and follow God's direction, he'll have success. But we have to know the voice of God. We have to know, is it truly God's will? Why wouldn't it be God's will for Paul to go into Asia Minor when he wanted to go in? The Holy Spirit forbade him. When you look in Acts, the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go into Asia Minor at a certain time. Well, that's because later God wanted him to go into Macedonia. He had that vision from a man saying, come over and help us. We don't even know if he ever met that man. But God gave him a vision to go somewhere else. Now later he got to go where he originally wanted to. But how many of us would argue, oh, it's the devil just trying to keep me from doing what's right? When at times it's God. God wanting us to do something else because we will do things that's comfortable to us. I'm like that. If I'm comfortable with it, I'll do it. If I'm not, I kind of resist it because I like my little safety net. I like my comfort zone. If I got to go out of that, I get a little testy because I'm being poked and prodded. That's why I look at Joshua and God encourages him multiple times, be of good courage, be of good courage. Let him know, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. God will provide. And for Joshua and the people, God was going to provide the promised land. Look at verse 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now when you think about it and you look at a map and you look at the area that God's talking about, it's roughly 300,000 square miles that God's promising that he's going to give to his people. They don't have that right now. They have just a small portion of what God promised. Now one day they're going to have it all. Because what God promised will come to pass. But here he tells Joshua, what I promised, what I told Moses, everywhere your foot treads, that's the land I'm going to give you. Roughly 300 square miles. But they don't have that. Why? Because they didn't obey every word God said. They did not do everything that God said. In Genesis 13, the Bible says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it, and then the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. You know, as God speaks to Abraham at that time, God promises Abraham, everywhere you travel, it's going to be yours. But we know, reading Scripture, he never found a city to dwell in. He dwelt in tents. He never owned the whole land like he was supposed to. But it's going to come to pass. But like I said, right now, they're not inhabiting the entire land that they're supposed to. They didn't even in that time. Because they allowed certain tribes and nations to kind of live when they weren't supposed to. They didn't claim all the promise of God. There's times in our life where you and I don't claim all the promises of God and we suffer for it. We suffer more than we really need to. Now, God has promised his protection for his people. In verse 5, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As he speaks to Joshua, he says, you know what? Not a man shall be able to stand before you. God promises his protection. He promises provision. But how much of God's promises are we truly living in? Do we remember that God is with us? If God be for us, who can be against us? If I'm a child of the King, then why am I suffering more than I should? Now, there's suffering in the world. I understand that. But I think many times we bring on more suffering than what is necessary that God even intended. Do we trust that God is stronger than any adversary that we might face? Do we claim the victory Jesus has already promised us? 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think, you know what, I don't even want to have to go through any hardships. I don't even want to have any spiritual battle. So you know what, I'm feeling uncomfortable, so I'm not even going to go that way. I'm not even going to allow myself in that situation. Even though there's nothing wrong with it, and God's prodding me to go in that direction, I don't want to. Again, that's where Jonah found himself in a whale's belly, because he didn't want to go in the direction that God wanted him to go. But God always gets his way. I have learned in my lifetime, I'll take a drink in a minute. I have learned in my lifetime, I make things more difficult than what they really are because of how I think and view things and how many times I procrastinate and I really don't want to do that. And then when I finally do it, it's harder because I've wasted so much time thinking about it and trying to get around it. And God's like, no, you're not getting around it. When I could have already did it and it just be done with. There's so many examples I could give you, but have you ever felt yourself having more difficulty than what was necessary in some situation? Again, did Jonah really have to end up in a whale's belly? No. If he would have just went to Nineveh the first time when God told him to, things would have been okay. But because he didn't want to, he fought against God's plan. He fought against God's purpose in his life. He ends up in the well of a belly, the belly of a well. He ends up sitting on a hillside looking at Nineveh later, just stewing and being mad that God's grace was being poured out on them. Because when God finally spoke to Jonah about his attitude, Jonah replied, because I knew you'd be gracious towards them. Whatever it is that God wants to do in your life, let him do it. It may be uncomfortable to you and to me, but it's better to be in the center of God's will than out of God's will. We need to allow God to work in our life according to his will. Again, God's the one that chose Joshua, and God has chosen you for this time in your life. Paul said in Romans 8, in verse 37, they and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. Reminding us, you know what, we do have a God in heaven who does love us. He's already said he has thoughts of peace towards us. He does not think evil towards us. He's not looking to make our life miserable by getting us to do things that we don't want to do, but he wants to use us, as in the case of Joshua, as in the case of Jonah, as in the case of Esther. Because when God's the one doing it, he gets the glory. And it was only because of God that Joshua had any success. It was only because of God that Jonah got a second chance. It was only because of God that Esther had the boldness and braveness to go in before the heathen king and basically ask for the lives of her people. And God protected each and every one of them. When you look at verse 5 again, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God promises his presence. God promises his presence in our life everywhere he guides us. The writer in Hebrews said in chapter 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Joshua is encouraged by God. There's not a man that will be able to stand before thee. Not because Joshua is some great man, but because God's before Joshua. If God before us, who can be against us? God's on our side. If God's leading us, then nothing can go wrong. What goes wrong in our life is when we don't follow the Lord, when we don't keep our focus on the author and finisher of our life, when we try to figure things out and run from God's will and God's purpose for our life, we find ourselves making life harder for ourselves. The prodigal son made his life harder on him. And it's a picture of a child of God wanting to go do their own thing. I don't want to live God's way anymore. I want to do my own thing. And he ends up where? In the pig pen. Having really been chewed up and spit out by the world. Being left. No one caring for him. That's where we find ourselves many times when we don't just stay close to the Lord and allow God to work in our life according to his will. Remember, God is with you. Whatever he calls you to do, and even if he's not calling you to do something specifically right now, he's still with you and still wants to increase your faith and develop your faith and to help you to continue to trust, to rest in him, and to just serve until he gives you a bigger picture. Look at verse 6 and 8 as we come to a close. In order to be used by God, and we all should have that desire, I really want God to do something in my life. I really want God to use me in some way. There's three requirements. I believe Joshua shows all three of those requirements being met. In verse 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God tells Joshua to be strong and of a good courage, to have some courageous faith, to have some faith that you can stand upon. Not faith in yourself, but faith in the one you're following. Faith in your God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Joshua doesn't see how everything's going to play out. Again, faith is always the first step that we take in anything. The day that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior was a step of faith. You were putting your faith in someone you've never seen, someone you've never met. I didn't see him dying on the cross, but I believe that his blood was shed for my sin. I mean, we know that's faith. And from that moment until this moment in your life, you've had to live by faith at different times. Faith in how am I going to pay the bills? Faith in, you know, getting a job, faith in raising children, faith in doing this, faith in doing that. Some things we don't think about. Some things we go through the motion. We don't think about. Other things we really think about and we really seek the Lord for. And we need to have that faith, the faith that I know who's guiding my steps, the faith I know who's with me. I know God wants to do something in my life. I may personally not want to do it, but if God's calling me to do it, then I want to surrender to His will. I want Him to be preeminent in my life. I want Him to have control over my life and over my emotions and over my fears and over my doubts. Do you know this morning that God's presence is really in your life? Hopefully it's not religion you're relying upon, but your relationship with your Heavenly Father. He wants us to have that faith, the faith like our forefathers, the faith of Esther. Think about just, you know, as I was reading even the life of Christ and how you have Rahab the harlot and you have Ruth the Moabite all in the line of Christ. These women that heard about God. Rahab the harlot, Rahab there in Jericho, she tells the two spies that Joshua sends to the city, "We've heard about your God. Now I want you to protect my life. I want your God to be my God." And she did exactly what she was told, to put the scarlet thread in the window, and she trusted her life would be saved. She wanted to follow their God because her God had failed her. Ruth the Moabite tells Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Where God is, that's where I want to be. Where God's people are, that's where I want to be." Remember, Naomi kept trying to discourage her and say, "Go back to your father, go back to their idols, the ones you grew up with." And Ruth's like, "No, I want to be where God is," because she heard God was blessing his people. I mean, these were women that, you know what? They wanted to be where God was because they saw God doing great things and they wanted to be a part of that. I'm not saying anybody in this room, but I know of many Christians who don't want God to be a part of their life. They don't want God to do anything in their life. They want to be like the prodigal son, just live their life on their own. And just, you know, God, just, you know, keep me safe and just let me live life how I want. We have to be careful of what we're familiar with. You're familiar with the life of Joshua. You're familiar with John 3:16. And I'm probably speaking more to me than anybody else, because being familiar with things in Scripture, sometimes you just kind of gloss over them. Okay, I'll use that account. I know what that's going on. Instead of actually reading it and diving back into it and seeing, you know, what God wants you to get out of that account, sometimes we just gloss over. Does John 3:16 mean anything anymore? The last time we read Scripture, what did it do to our heart? What did it do to our thinking? What did it do to our life? Do we find ourselves still craving the presence of God? Do we find ourselves still walking by faith, trusting what God's told us and following His leadership? Because that brings us to verse 7 of obedience. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." I mean, the second requirement is to be completely obedient to God. Not half-hearted, but to be completely obedient, because I know that God's with me. If God's called me to it, He'll bring me through it. James tells us this way, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I deceived myself years ago when I When I told myself I want no part of God or church, and what I based that on was the people I saw in church that really didn't have a walk with God. Standing at the back door, opening the doors of people to go in, smoking their cigarette at the door, the deacons of the church. And I wanted no part. I was like, well, man, if they can live like that, well, I can live like that and not go to church. Well, that's a problem when we compare our life with someone else's life. Because everyone has their own life. Not everybody, again, that claims Christ is living for Christ. What matters is what you and I are doing. What matters is what am I doing? Do I really live by faith? And faith is trusting the one who saved me. The one who's given me a new life, a second chance in life to follow him through this life. I remember what it was like to walk in this world without the light of Christ, without a relationship with the Lord. And that's why I said at the beginning, I never have wanted to go back and live my younger years, because I remember my younger years without Christ. And that's, if I could live with Christ, okay. But I don't want to relive those same years. But being doers of the word and not hearers only, which brings us to verse 8. The third requirement that we need to remind ourselves of that God has for us is to meditate upon his word. Doers of the word, not hearers only, but to think about it. Think about what God is saying to me. In verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Paul told the Colossians in chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell richly in your hearts. It's probably harder for the younger people to understand where we are at in history. Should say where we're at on God's timetable. But for the older generations who've been walking with the Lord for a while and have seen the world change. Again, things change in our life, all right? Growing up, getting married, having children, becoming grandparents, grandchildren, all the things that happen in your life. But think about the world that we live in. As things continue to change in this world, it shows us the imminent return of Christ. It shows us, you know what? I need to be spiritually ready. I need to get my house in order. I need to be ready for the return of Christ and not have the world's mentality, it'll never happen in my lifetime. We do need to remember that God is with us. And God will guide us through this life and guide us through this world. But I do want to encourage us today to take inventory of our life, to take inventory of how we're living our life for the Lord, our faith, and truly say, Lord, here am I. What is it you want to do? You know, there's less and less of God's people surrendering their life to the mission field, surrendering their life to do anything for the Lord. You know, it's hard-pressed to find people to work in Sunday school, nursery. I'm not just saying here, I'm saying any church. I mean, we're in that period of time the Bible talks about, the lukewarmness. And I'm just saying what the Bible says, not saying anybody in here. But we got to be careful we don't fall into that lukewarmness and not really caring about the things of God and caring about people dying without Christ. And well, you know what, I'm comfortable working here. I'm comfortable doing what I do. We really do need to be open. What does God want? What does God want me to do? Again, just being honest, I never had the idea of going into the ministry and being a pastor. I was okay, even though I kind of resisted at first to be a Sunday school teacher. because I was comfortable just, you know, helping somebody else. But to actually be the leader and to be the one doing it. God has something for all of us to do. Where's our heart and where's our mindset this morning? Because once this life is over, we don't get a second chance. Once it's passed, I can't redo it. If God's asked me to do something, then I need to do what he asked me to do. It may not be teach a Sunday school class. It may be trust me in this situation. Follow me down this path. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It may just be something like that. It may be God saying, you know what? Get rid of that in your life. That's hindering your walk with me. That's causing you to have a corrupt mind. Listening to that, watching that. Because again, God has a purpose, and that purpose is to transform us more into the image of Christ. God wants us to follow him faithfully. God wants us to be prepared. God wants us to be prepared to do what he wants us to do at the moment he asks us. You know there are times in your life where you regret you didn't do something. So why do we continue doing that? Having moments come that God wants to do something and we just let them go by and we regret it again. Yes, be doers of the word and not hearers only. But more so, Lord, help me to walk by faith. Help me to surrender my will to your will. Lord, I truly want to see the power of Christ in my life. I don't want to just hear about God doing something in someone else's life. That's what Paul was even trying to help when he was mentoring Timothy and telling Timothy, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He told Timothy, don't be afraid of those that resist what you're trying to do for God. Just do what God's asked you to do. Rely upon the Lord. Walk in the strength of God's grace. Allow the power of God to work in your life and through your life. Yeah, there's things that we don't want to do, but let God